stood an old rugged cross.
Hallelujah.
The anthem of suffering and shame.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
For I love that old cross.
Where the dearest,
and best.
Hallelujah.
For a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Till my trophies at last I lay down.
I will
cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Think about it, the crown day's coming.
Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Hallelujah.
In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine.
Hallelujah.
Oh, wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross that Jesus suffered and died to pardon and save. Trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Oh, then he'll call me someday to my home far away.
Cherish that cross with cherish it with all your heart.
Till my trophies at last I lay down. cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross.
Hallelujah.
And exchange it some.
And I want to preach tonight on David's testimony. I don't think it ever dawned on me that Psalms 23 is a testimony of a man that had lived out that testimony and could testify to what God was doing in his life. He could tell of the assurance. He could tell of the certainty. He could tell of the dark places. He could tell of the tribulation. And he could tell of all of God's faithfulness. All of God's faithfulness. And I want to try tonight to spend a little time giving you a promise, a special assurance that God is watching over you. And that God is caring for you. And that God is your assurance. And God is your certainty. And that if you follow him, nothing, and I mean nothing, can stop you. Nothing can turn you aside. Nothing can defeat you. You can go on through every thick and every thin experience. And there'll be both. There'll be some dark moments and there'll be some happy moments. And the happy moments far outweigh the dark moments. I promise you, I can testify that God has never let me down. I remember one time when a lady came to me after I preached and said, I'm tired of your preaching because you refuse to act doubtful. You refuse to admit that things are in a turmoil, that something is wrong. And I said, well, I don't refuse to admit it. I just refuse to bow to it. I refuse to show one iota of doubt that God is going to bring his children, each one of you, individually, God is going to bring you to victory over and over and over as long as life continues. He's never going to fail you. He's never going to forsake you. You can forsake him. I'll never forget being in a big prophecy conference one time, and one of my friends who was a once saved, always saved advocate to the ultimate degree came to me and said, Brother Chambers, do you really believe that people can lose their salvation? I said, no, I don't believe you can lose your salvation. He said, Brother Chambers, you do believe you can lose your salvation. I said, you cannot. I said, you can leave it, but you can't lose it. And he was kind of dumbfounded and a little bit aggravated at me that I'd pulled that on him. But I'm telling you, you can't lose this hope. You can leave it. You can't lose this promise. You can leave it. You can back off from it. But God's promises are fixed and concrete, friend. God's promises to you are as certain as the sun rose this morning. So let's read that great psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. Now remember, this is a testimony. David is testifying to you. Why have I never seen that before? Brother Marlon, I get so aggravated at me because of things that I should have seen long ago, and all of a sudden they dawn on me. This is David's testimony. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Listen to that. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I David's talking about himself. Yea, though I should walk through the valley of the sorrows of death, I will not fear. I will fear not. I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. David is testifying. David's thanking God for his faithfulness. He's thanking God for the valleys and letting the world know that God is faithful. Thou preparest a table before me, the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Every word of those of that psalm is a testimony of David, the psalmist, who was letting us know that God is faithful to us, that God cares for us, and that God watches over us, and we can trust in Him. Listen to me. Every one of you standing here tonight, right now, you can know that God knows all your circumstances. God knows every valley that you have experienced or will experience. God knows every doubt that comes against your mind. God knows every fear that you feel. But God will restore your spirit, your soul. And God will build a table, put a table before you. The presence of your enemies. Your enemies will see God's blessing upon you. And they will know that God hath been good to you. And you're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Woo! Somebody raise a hand and thank Him. Father, thank You tonight. Thank You tonight, Father, because You are ours and we are Yours. Thank You tonight, God, because everything we look at around us may look turmoil and may look in trouble and may seem to be out of focus. And we may feel as though the hour is too much to hold on and bear to. But God, give us the courage to know that Thou art faithful, that Thou art faithful. That Thou art faithful and that Thou wilt not fail. You may be seated. It is as impossible for God to fail as it is for some arrogant atheist to reach up there in the heavens and pull God off His throne. It's as impossible for God to fail as some scientist can take the sun out of its orbit and cast it to the earth. It is as impossible for God to fail as any imaginary thing you can come up with. God cannot fail. God cannot fail. Now, I want to preach seven things, if I can, and not be too long. Number one. We have a Heavenly Father. We have a Heavenly Father. Does anybody in here understand what it means to have a good Father? To have a Father that you know will seek for your meal tomorrow and seek for your comfort tomorrow evening and will see for your needs being met and will be there to fight for you if He needs to. Will be there to stand up for you in the thick of the battle. Do we understand a father? We understand the beauty of a father, responsibility of a father. But then consider that the moment you were saved, the moment you became a child of the King, the moment you were born again, the moment your life was turned from a life of sin to a life of righteousness, you became the son or daughter of a Heavenly Father. And the Bible said He watches over you. The Bible says that He watches over you. That all of your needs He will supply and He will meet. David said, I'm old, yet was I young, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread.
That's God's promise. That's God's prophet saying exactly what he saw and what he experienced. God don't let you down. Your Father is not going to forsake you. Your Father's not going to forget where you are. Your Father is not going to fail to know the load you're carrying. Your Father is not going to fail to answer your prayer. Your Father is going to take care of you. And to add to the beauty of a heavenly Father, there is one named Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, who has been through the valley of death, who has come out on victory side, has ascended in all the power of the resurrection, the right hand of this God, our Father, and he sits there, and as though we could think that God would forget anything, and don't think he does, the Son is there to plead our cause. The Son is there to petition the Father when you really need a miracle, when you really need a special moment. The Father is watching and the Son is reminding. The Son is pleading with the Father on the merits of his sacrifice on the cross. See, you can go to the Father because he's your Father and you're his son or daughter. But Jesus can point his Father to that sacrifice of blood and say, Father, I've already paid the price for that miracle that they need. I've already paid the price for that situation they're in and your deliverance out of it. I've already paid the price for every battle they fight with the devil and the powers of hell. I've already paid the price and I've defeated that old dark enemy of hell. And now I bring you, Father, the remembrance of my sacrifice for them. And he pleads your cause. Hallelujah. You've got a heavenly Father. How many of you got a heavenly Father? Do you trust him? Do you remember day by day that he's watching over you? Do you understand that he said he would supply your needs according to his riches in glory? Have you ever considered the riches in glory? If he will supply your need, Brother Derek, according to his riches in glory, then you need to add up what glory is worth. You need to take every multi-million-dollar mansion up there and multiply that by 10 million times. You need to look at the streets of gold. You need to look at those pearly gates. You need to look at those homes that are absolutely gorgeous. And you need to just get some idea of how much heaven is worth. This world has no comprehension of the value of heaven. And God's promises is on the basis of his riches and glory. Woo! Hallelujah. Somebody let me know that you believe in these kind of promises, that you trust these kind of situations, and that you don't need to worry. How much do we worry? My gracious, worrying when you're a child of God is the most foolish thing you ever did. What are you going to worry about, Sister Gloria? Hallelujah. What are you going to worry about, Sister Lucille? I mean, when God's blessings are according to his riches, I'm telling you, we have a heavenly Father. We have a heavenly Father. Would somebody say with me, we have a heavenly Father? Make that a little more personal and say, I have a heavenly Father. Ooh, I have a heavenly Father. And Father, I want you to know I'm trusting you. Father, I've never trusted you more than you're helping me trust you right this night, right now, standing here before this congregation. I'm trusting you, Father. You are in charge. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Hallelujah. I believe when I come down to the end of my journey, I don't know when it's going to be, but I want my last words to be, the Lord has been my shepherd all these years, and he's never forsaken me. I love my heavenly Father. Would you like to take a moment and tell him how much you love him? Father, I love you tonight. I want to love you with my heart and my mind and my soul and my strength. I want to love you with everything in me. I want to bring praise to your name and glory to your cause. I want to exalt you, O Lord. Thou art my heavenly Father. Thou art my heavenly Father. Hallelujah. He will. He will. Hallelujah. Watch over me. The Bible says, if somebody treats you wrong, and somebody comes against you, and you are not accountable. I mean, we can make mistakes, and people come against us because we deserve to be come against. Sometimes we do things that deserve people's disfavor or their dislove. And I repent of those as soon as I can understand them. But I want to tell you, the Bible says, will not the Lord avenge his saints or avenge us of our adversaries who cry day and night unto him? I want to tell you right tonight before God and before this universe that if you have an adversary somewhere, you have somebody who's against you, somebody giving you trouble, somebody giving you a hard time, turn it over to God. Get your hands off of it. Leave it alone and let the God of heaven take care of you. You simply cry to him day and night. And if God don't avenge you, then he ain't God, but he is God. Shall not the Lord avenge his elect? Notice he said his elect. Are you born again? How many of you are born again? Raise your hand if you've been born again. Raise your hand if you've been saved by the blood of Jesus. The saved are his elect. The saved are his elect. You can't be saved and not be his elect. You can't be saved and not be his elect. He's watching over you. And every enemy that ever gathers the storm against you happens to be in his focus. And he's watching over you. All you got to do is put it in his hands and keep your hands off of it. Now, do you hear that? Keep your hands off of it. Don't you touch that which is an enemy avenging you. You leave that in God's hands. You love them. You pray for them. You treat them right. You forgive anything anybody has said or done. You forgive every bit of it. You repent of anything you might have said or done. You make sure you keep your conscience clean. You make sure you repent when you need to repent. You make sure you keep your face clear and your heart clear and your mind clear and stay out of criticism and darkness and trust God. He will avenge you of your adversaries. Hallelujah. Put them right now in God's hand, will you? Put them in God's hand. Leave them alone. You just keep shouting. Just keep praising the Lord. The greatest thing you ever done is when you quit trying to fight your battles. When you quit trying to be the one who clears up the situation. You can't clean the smoke up. You only make it brighter. You only make people more conscious of it. You turn it over to God. So, God's people have, I mean, what? Think about this. Look at all the people out there by the tens of millions who hire lawyers every day to take care of something that they need to be avenged of. The car don't do right. I'm gonna sue the car maker. I fell in the bathroom of a motel. I remember people who went to motels and fell in the bathroom and sued the motels and got hundreds of thousands of dollars. In many cases, they got the money because the motel didn't want the bad publicity. Didn't deserve it, just got it. I know cases like that. I'll take you to so many of those kind of cases and they never pay anything. Oh, yeah, there's money involved. But I'm talking about to the ultimate end of your life. They're not good. And they bring more harm and more sorrow and more heartbreak. I know there's cases that this may be legal and right to do. You're protecting something that needs protection. But as a whole, put it in God's hands. He will avenge you of your adversaries. And if you'll read the next verse, it says, and he will do it speedily. And he will do it speedily. Would somebody say, praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't want to live on the monies that I sue to get from somebody. I want to live on God's promises in my life. I want to live on God's blessings because I'm a faithful tither and a faithful giver. I want to live on God's blessings because he takes care of me. I don't want what I force out of somebody. I want what comes down from the Father above. I refuse to be a part of the system of our world where we sue one another at a drop of a hat. No, let me walk with God who takes care of me. Woo! Somebody say hallelujah. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. He is so faithful to us. He is so faithful to us. Hallelujah. He will meet all of your needs according to his riches in glory. I kind of got that point in mixed with the first one, but it's a good point. God will meet all of your needs. You have money needs, you call on God. You have money needs, you call on God. Can I take you back a little bit? When I became a preacher man, when I accepted the call of God to be a pastor, I asked for nothing. In many cases, I got nothing. And God would, and I would go wherever they send me. No assurance of a parsonage. I went to our first church in Tabor City. We had a mobile home we could live in, but we soon had to turn that in because we couldn't make the payments on it. We rented a house. We had a car that we couldn't buy a license tag for. I remember some of the moments in that wonderful time at Tabor City, how God took care of us. I remember waking up one morning to a car out on Saturday morning in the parking lot blowing his horn. And he said, Reverend Chambers, is this where you live? Yes, this is where we live. I woke up this morning down in Wilmington, North Carolina, and the Lord said to me, you go fill that car with groceries and you take them to Joe Chambers and Juanita up in Tabor City. And carry them some food for them. And here he is in our parking lot with a carload of groceries to feed Brother and Sister Chambers and little Terry, who was just less than a year old. Oh, God took care of us. And I can tell you one time after the other when God came through in the drop of a hat in a time of a need. And I never went hungry. I never went without. And God was right there supplying them every need. Hallelujah. Because God is faithful. Hallelujah. Oh, I tell you, nothing will make a man out of you like living in a place, in a situation where it's trust God to go hungry. Where it's call on God to go in need. And then you realize in a few days, in a few months, in a few experiences, you don't ever have to worry about him. He'll always be on time. He'll speak to somebody over here or somebody over there, and he'll take care of his preachers. And you don't have to ever doubt that God is in charge. He will meet your needs according to his riches in glory. All you got to do is put yourself in his hands and trust him. I'll never forget those experiences. They made my life. They made my life. Hallelujah. God is faithful and he will supply all of your needs. You don't pastor churches as we did where the salary was very limited and the things that you got were very limited. And all you had to do was make one person a little angry with you and they take their tithes out and put it somewhere else so you wouldn't get part of them. And I remember for years I lived on whatever the tithes happened to be on that given week, and 20% of that went to the state office. The other 80 came to me, and it could be little or it could be much. But whether it was little or whether it was much, the need was met, and the food was on the table, and the rent was paid, and the light bill got paid, and God was blessed, and the kingdom was growing, and people were getting saved. Hallelujah! He's a faithful God. He will supply your needs. You got to get that in your heart. Don't trust in man. Trust in God. Don't trust in man. Trust in God. Hallelujah. Number four. I want to tell you something. You are sitting in the house of God tonight. And God has been good to you. And God has proved himself good to you. And is watching over you. And he's preparing, planning right now. Right now. He's planning for the angel to sound that old trumpet. He's planning for that moment of glorious, glorious rapture to occur. And you just don't understand what you're fixing to be a part of, saints of God. How many of you know you're sanctified by the blood and you're living a clean, holy life? You're walking with God in surrender and devotion. Any moment now, you're going to be transformed and leave that nice suit behind and ascend right up in a heavenly body to the presence of the great God. You are a person who is soon to be the recipient of a glorious rapture. Woo! I don't know about you. I'm excited about what I got ahead of me. You say, Brother Chambers, are the things to bother your mind? I got enough to bother my mind that if I would let it, it would drive me insane. My family, my sisters, my brother, my wife's sisters, her brother, cousins, my brother down in South Carolina. I mean, there's enough, and you pray, and you weep, and you sob, and you wait on God, expect at any moment a Holy Ghost miracle. It don't come as soon as you want it, and so you just keep on praying. You keep on believing. You refuse to doubt. Let me see the hand of everybody. I'm not going to be looking because it's not my business, but you refuse to doubt. Throw your hand up and thank him, God. I refuse to doubt. I refuse to fear. I refuse to be apprehensive. I refuse, God, to not understand that thou art faithful, God. Thou art faithful. Hallelujah. Great is the Lord, and greatly be praised the mountains of his holiness. Beautiful for situation is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Oh, what a God. So we are a family, all of God's saints now. We're a family of God's elect, God's chosen. He's brought us into the family. Some of you came one way, some came another. Some had mamas and daddies that taught you. Some like me, the family knew nothing about God. Knew nothing about old time holiness. Knew nothing about the rapture. Knew nothing about the soon coming of the Master. Knew nothing about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. But God, in his mercy, got a hold of an old country preacher and sent him to a farm, hallelujah, where there was a ragged, hard-working little boy, and saved him and called him out of that and made a child of the king. And now I'm waiting for the call to come home. Waiting for the call to come home. Hallelujah. Sometimes when I'm just praying, I begin to quote that wonderful scripture in Isaiah 57 and verses, I think it's 14, 15, where it says, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the high and holy one, the high and lofty one. I like the way it says it. Thus saith the high and lofty one. I dwell in eternity, and my name is holy, and my name is holy, and I dwell in the heavenly place, but with him who has a humble and a contrite heart. And I said, God, how in the world can you dwell in me? And he said, reminds me that the blood has washed me, the blood has saved me. Deserve a bit of it. I don't deserve not even one of his great promises, but God's benefits are overwhelming to me. Remember Psalms 103 that says, forget not all his benefits. Forget not all his benefits. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. And then I read in the book of John where he says, I am the bread of life. This is something that's ours. Do you understand? Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He don't mean that just to sound like something he is. He means that to get a hold of your heart and to understand he is your bread of life. He's your life, friend. He will give you everything you need every day you need it. He will feed you when you get hungry. I'm talking about spiritual and physical. He will meet every need of your life when you're sad and gloomy, barren the family, where there's death in the making, Sister Yvette, and all the time you're living in the comfort of the Holy Ghost and being fed by the joys of the Lord. Are you letting God fill you with His joy every day? Are you letting God satisfy you with this wonderful bread of life? Are you letting Him to satisfy every need of your heart? Are you feasting on the manna that comes from above? That's really what the bread of life is. It's manna, Holy Ghost manna, to feed your hungry soul. Are you hungry for God? I want to promise you, if you will get hungry for God, get on your knees anywhere you want to get on your knees. I like the altar. I build altars at other places. I've made my home an altar lately, and I try to have 2 hours here every morning, but I try to have 2 hours at home every night. And I'm fixing on His bread from heaven, the manna of the Holy One. Hallelujah. And when you feast an hour or so on manna before you go to bed at night, you sleep like a baby. You sleep like a baby. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. I'm the bread of life. I'm talking about your benefits. I'm talking about what David says in that great Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You listen? David said, I shall not want. Can you say He's meeting all my needs? I shall not want. Would you raise your hand with me and let's do it together. Father, You're meeting all of my needs. I shall not want. You're making me happy. I refuse not to trust You. I refuse to be so gloomy that my heart falls apart. I mean and intend to keep my head high and to keep my heart full of joy and trust and confidence. And I'm watching for miracles like I've never seen in my life. I'm watching for supernatural happenings. I want to see the blind to see and the deaf to hear and the blind and the lame to walk. I want to see the crippled healed. I want to see God's glory. And I believe I'm going to see it. Amen. Amen. He said, I am the bread of life. Then I'd like to take you to Romans 8:1. There's so much in the Bible. More and more, I'm learning to quote the Bible. I'm giving myself to memorize more and more of the Scripture so that when I'm up here, I don't have to struggle through trying to read every time. That I can just tell you what the Bible says and quote it and tell you the location. Romans 8 and 11, one of the greatest promises in the Bible. I can tell you that 1,000 or more times I've been to this verse in my dark moment, and God has always come with His glory. Let me quote it to you as I read. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Christ from the dead, if the Spirit of Him that raised up Christ from the dead, go to the resurrection tomb where Jesus was there in death. He was, of course, in the heart of the earth, but the body was there in death. It was there just like any other dead man would be in a tomb. Just like any other dead person would be dead. His body had been so stripped of all of its dignity. He'd been beat and wounded. He had been shattered and turned into a pitiful looking piece of humanity. And He's laying there in that tomb. And if you could have walked in there and saw Him, you wouldn't have recognized nothing but a beaten, bruised, just a destroyed human flesh. But suddenly, the Holy Ghost moved in that tomb. And that old body, you ever heard about the shaking in that takes place in the resurrection? Hallelujah, that old body began to experience healing. Hallelujah, that flesh began to mend back together. The every part of His body began to look human again. I'm sure that they must have washed the blood from His face because when they saw Him later that day, they didn't see any blood on His face. So the Holy One must have washed His face, must have put a clean-looking garment on that fleshly body. Hallelujah. And Jesus is resurrected. The Bible says, if the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body. Now think of this. The same resurrection that took a hold of him in that tomb will take a hold of us in our physical. And he'll resurrect us. Hallelujah. He'll renew us. Are you living in this resurrection power? Most of the church knows nothing about it. I'm talking about resurrection life. I'm talking about if the spirit of him that raised Christ from the dead dwell in me, he that raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken my mortal body. Woo! Hallelujah. You're not just looking at a crumbled old man standing up here. You're looking at a man who lives in this power of the Holy Ghost and the resurrection life. Somebody say hallelujah. So if the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, this is now, not then. We talk about resurrection like it's got to happen then. No, resurrection is happening right now for those where the spirit is dwelling and moving up and down the avenues of their life. And the resurrection life is just reverberating in you. And, oh, I feel it right now. I stand here feeling that resurrection life. I stand here right now with that hope of his resurrection. I stand here right now with that assurance that he dwells in me. And the enemy cannot destroy me. The enemy cannot get rid of me. The enemy cannot eliminate my life and my ongoing presence and work and glory of the Lord, because resurrection life is in me. How about inviting that resurrection life in you, will you? The name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. So the resurrection life is right now dwelling in you and in me. We are living the resurrection life. If you're full of the Holy Ghost, you are living the resurrection life. Where is this life in today's church world? It is almost absent, but there's a few saints. God people. We're living in the power of the resurrection. Will you stretch your body out and kind of raise your hands and your heart and look up and say, I'm living in the power of his resurrection. I'm living in the power of his resurrection. Would you do that with me? I want you to do it with me. I want you to get a hold of you. I want you to understand this is not some absent promise. This is not some dream. This is reality, that God's resurrection life will dwell in you and will quicken your mortal body by his spirit that dwells in you. Woo! What a life. I'm talking about promises. I'm talking about living in the provisions of heaven. I'm talking about living in the things that God's made available to us. I'm talking about, this is yours. It's your food. It's your meat. I mean, it belongs to you as a child of the King. You're his. I said, you're his. And could I end with one more great promise? I'm trying not to preach long, but that isn't easy for me. I guess you already know that. You already know that. Let's go to Romans chapter 8 and 28. Romans 8 and 28. I like this. And we know that all things work together for good. Now don't look at me and say, Brother Chambers, you've got to be telling a fib. You've got to be telling us something that ain't true. No, I'm not. I'm telling you, me, if you've been born again, you've been sanctified by the blood, you've been filled with the Holy Ghost of God. I'm telling you, look around at your circumstance. Try to imagine everything you're going through. Try to imagine the fears you felt. Some of the doubts you probably felt about your church. Try to imagine everything you're thinking. Everything you've heard. Everything you may hear tomorrow. Try to think of everything. 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 And all things work together for good to them who love God and who are the called according to his purpose. How many know you're called? Raise your hand up. Come on, you know you're called. You know you're his. You know you belong to him. You know he's put you where he's got you, and he saved you, and he sanctified you, and he's filled you with the Holy Ghost. You know he's met your need. He's watched over you. You have food to eat. You have whatever your life has need of. All things work together for good to them that love God. Love God. Love God. Love God. Raise your hand and say, I love you, Father. Oh, I love you. All things. He is watching over you and me and you and you and you and you and everything that happens. Everything? That don't make no sense, Sister Beth. That don't make no sense. Everything. But I believe it. I don't understand it. It befuzzles me. It messes up my mind sometimes. But all things. All things. Now if you can receive this, I want you to stand. I'm trying to close. I want you to stand. If you can receive this, that all things work together for good. To them. Thank you for your hand up, Lucille Mumford. All things work together for good. Brother Robert, all things work together for good. You've been saved a little over a year. Been some little struggles, hasn't it? Some things to bother you. But all things work together for good. But all things work together for good. I'm giving you what the Holy Ghost gave me for me. And for you, Derek. You, Sister Phoebe. For you over there, Brother Joe. For you back there, Sister Gloria. All things. You follow God. You put everything in God's hands. You'll never figure it all out. Try it all you may. I've been there how many times all these years. Try to figure it out. I've even tried to handle it for God. I've tried to handle it for God. I'm always busy with that, having to repent, keeping my hands off of things that have no business, putting my hands on. God takes care of his own. God watches over his own. And you have been saved by the blood. The blood of Jesus is your weapon. Are you listening? The blood of Jesus is the weapon of our warfare. The blood of Jesus is the weapon of our warfare. That ought to have been one of my points, but it's not. The blood of Jesus is the weapon of our warfare. Don't fight anything in anything but the blood. Don't make any struggle that you don't depend on the blood. Trust in the blood and be faithful to God. I'd hope to get to the point of a number 8 and talk about tithing. Did you know that tithing is a supernatural thing? How many knew that tithing was supernatural? He said, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God takes what's left over and multiplies it when you are a faithful tither. You cheat yourself when you don't tithe. You cut your own throat, brother, when you don't tithe. And don't tithe not just because the church needs it. Don't ever let that become your habit. Don't let yourself ever think that. You tithe because of God's word. And he will meet your need every time. Do you believe this, Brother Jose? You believe this, Brother Jose? You believe this, Brother Joe? He'll meet your need. I promise you, you be a faithful tither. It'll take a little while. He'll try you. The Lord will give you a chance to prove your love, your faithfulness. But you just be faithful. And you watch the moment comes when God turns it all around. And you begin to say, wow, what a faithful God I serve. What a faithful God I serve. See, this is his children. This is his promises. These things are things he's provided for you. The family of God is the richest folk on the face of this earth. I'm not talking about how much wealth they got. I'm talking about what they live in, the promises of God. And his faithfulness. Glory. Thank you, Father. I've enjoyed preaching.
I'll stand, and there.